Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, on today's program, we end our extensive series on Israel, the super sign of the end times. And by now, if you have listened to all of this series, I think the preponderance of the evidence detailing how the restoration of modern-day Israel with the regathering of the Jewish people back into their ancient homeland clearly indicates and signifies as an irrefutable sign from God that the Messiah is coming soon. On today's program, I want to address the current attempts to establish peace in the Middle East between the Arab conglomerate of nations and the tiny nation of Israel, and how this peace plan was anticipated and predicted in the Word of God. A peace plan which arbitrarily demands that Israel divide up their land and cede it to their Arab enemies. And in so doing, the Arabs will use that ill-acquired land grab for Israel's destruction. And even though this is their intent when they falsely sue for peace with the Jewish state, God will disarm them and destroy this perfidious plan for peace that leaves out the God of Israel, ignores and even calls on Israel to violate the land covenant he gave with the chosen people, a land covenant that lasts forever. And where is this anticipated and prophesied? Ezekiel 35. So today's subject is Ezekiel 35 and the state of Palestine. The U.S. government's call for a Palestinian state, first at the provisional level, plays right into the hands of Arab strategists who have long demanded such a scenario for the eventual destruction of the Jewish state. Instead of taking appropriate measures against the Palestinian terrorist groups by dismantling them and putting them on trial for crimes against the Jewish state, our own government in the United States is unwittingly rewarding such terrorists and acts of terror against Israel with a Palestinian state of their own. Such a disastrous policy would no doubt jeopardize America's sister democracy and important ally in that volatile region of the world. But more importantly, such a short-sighted Mideast policy egregiously violates the Abrahamic land covenant God gave Israel for an everlasting possession as defined in the Word of God. God said this land covenant is eternal. It is forever. Genesis 17, 7 and 8. The proposed boundaries for this Palestinian state would include chopping up parts of Israel and further diminishing its already tiny size. The boundaries for this nascent Palestinian state would include the Gaza Strip, which Ariel Sharon was already forced to give over to the Palestinians for peace. And instead, what did Israel get? More terrorism. The boundaries also include a large part of East Jerusalem and the West Bank. The West Bank, as it is erroneously called by much of the political world, the UN and the media, is really the biblical regions of Judea and Samaria, and they fall well within the eternal land grant God gave the Jewish people through their ancestral father Abraham. Genesis 15:18 establishes that. Several times in Scripture, The Lord calls this area the mountains of Israel. In Ezekiel 35:12 and 36 verses 1 and 2, the same area is referred to as the place Israel's enemies want to usurp for themselves. The very same area today the Arabs and Palestinians are demanding from Israel. So we see here a fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel 35. This mountain range mentioned in Ezekiel 35, this mountain range in Israel extends from Mount Hermon in the far north to Eilat in the far south of Israel. If one were to look at any map of Israel, he or she would see that the West Bank area that is normally shaded in is the very heartland of Israel and is part and parcel of the land God gave Israel for an everlasting possession, Arab claims notwithstanding. The very scenario for the demand of a Palestinian state by the Palestinian Authority, the Arab nations, and now sadly by the U.S. government today, seems to be predicted and anticipated in the prophetic word of God in Ezekiel 35. In this prophetic chapter of the Bible, we read that there is a determined effort by the enemies of Israel to divide the land into two nations and countries for the express purpose of making Israel geographically indefensible in the north, so that the whole land can be conquered and taken at the expense of the destruction of the Jewish state and people. Indeed, this is exactly at the very heart of the roadmap to peace plan that is being proposed today by the U.S. government, the UN, the EU, and these together are trying to force Israel to accept it. And so in verse 10 of Ezekiel 35, we read the strategy of this false peace will be to divide Israel into two so that the enemies of Israel can eventually conquer through the policy of divide and conquer. America's role in this does not directly involve this plan of divide and conquer, but it is the furtive objective of the Arab nations around Israel today. However, the insistence for such a Palestinian state by the U.S. government is being used nonetheless by the PA and the Arab world to further their disguised agenda cloaked behind false talks for peace. That agenda is nothing less than the extermination of Israel. Indeed, the Arab world's humiliating defeats in the wars fought with Israel in 1948, 1967, and 1973 forced the Arabs to adopt a new strategy, one that involved a skillfully waged economic, diplomatic, and propaganda war against Israel, while at the same time pursuing sham peace talks as a clever ruse. Prominent Arab strategist Al-Alubi officially recommended such a strategy as early as 1973. And judging from what has transpired the last 35 years or so, it seems to be working against Israel's favor. The so-called peace talks from Oslo to the present hour chiefly centers on the creation of a Palestinian state in the middle of Israel, mainly involving surrendering the regions of Samaria and Judea, the West Bank, which comprises a large part of the mountains of Israel. This brings us now to the prophecy of Ezekiel 35 and the current situation for establishing a Palestinian state now unfolding before our eyes in the Middle East. The prophecy of judgment in Ezekiel 35 opens with a prediction of destruction against those inhabitants living in and around Mount Seir. For we read in verses 2 through 4 of Ezekiel 35, this, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir. This is God instructing Ezekiel to prophesy against this mountain. And he's instructed, Ezekiel's instructed by God to say this, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities waste and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Mount Seir is presently located in Jordan and was the homeland of Esau, the father of the ancient Edomite people. Genesis 36:8. Mount Seir also served as the capital of the nation of Edom in biblical times. Esau and the Edomites are one of the ancestors of the Arab people. Mountain here, and in other parts of Scripture, signifies power and strength. So the judgment is against those of that region who are strong in their hatred and opposition of Israel. Today, people living in the area of Edom, now the country of Jordan, which is the eastern neighbor of Israel, are made up of all Arabs known as either Jordanians or Palestinians. Oftentimes in Scripture, when God addresses a nation or group of people, He does so in the person, primogeniture, or federal head of that group of people. For instance, in Romans 5, Paul uses Adam to stand for the federal head and representative of all humanity. So we see here in Ezekiel 35 that Edom is representative of those from among the Arab nations that oppose and seek Israel's destruction. God's destruction of Edom is the signal, or in the context of our teaching series, it is the sign for His judgment on all the nations for their mistreatment of the chosen people in the last days immediately before the return of Jesus Christ. The reason for this destruction of the descendants of Edom is stated in verse 5, and I will read it to you. Ezekiel 35, verse 5. God says, "Because," stating the reason why He's going to bring judgment and ruin on them, "because you have an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of the punishment of the end, when their iniquity came to an end." The reason for this destruction, the destruction God will bring upon Edom and the Arab descendants from him, is because they have an ancient hatred for Israel. Hatred for the Jews by the Arabs is tragically replete in Scripture and throughout history. The Arab nations in the Middle East start indoctrinating hatred for the Jew and Israel and their children as early as 3 years of age in school via the media, literature, and the Muslim religion. Their anti-Semitism runs strong and deep and shows no signs of abating today. This anti-Semitic hatred has lasted for some 3,000 years, quite ancient indeed. Verse 5 gives a second reason for their judgment, and that is they shed the blood of innocent Jews. The history of Arab terrorism alone makes it abundantly clear that the Arab world, represented by such loathsome persons as Hafez and Bashar Assad, Yasser Arafat, Gamal Abdel Nasser, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and Saddam Hussein, and their countless terror groups, have all conspired together to copiously shed the blood of innocent Israelis. Amazing, amazing, when you read this prophetic chapter of Ezekiel 35, it sounds like it is a report right out of our newspapers and magazines about the current volatile situation in the Middle East, where Israel is surrounded by 21 Arab dictatorships who seek to shed their blood and thereby destroy them. God is on top of things, and He knows what is going to happen, and He will act to ensure the victory of Israel at the utter desolation and defeat of their enemies. Well, this united conspiracy by the Arab descendants of Edom for the destruction of Israel is for the purpose of taking the land away from the Jews. Verse 10 exposes their evil intent and strategy and provides further reason for God's judgment on them. Verse 10 reads, "Because you have said, these two nations and these countries shall be mine, and we shall possess them." The strategy of the Arabs is exactly this today. The goal is to create a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza, thus bifurcating Israel to render the northern border of Israel a mere 10-mile strip, and thus make it indefensible and vulnerable to Arab attack and evasion from the West Bank with Hamas. That would be an attack from the east, and an attack by Syria in the north. It is the old military strategy of divide and conquer. The desire of Israel's Arab enemies is that her land be divided into two nations for the purpose of taking all the land for themselves. This is what is at the heart of the roadmap to peace plan that has been put on the table and has been strongly urged by the Palestinian Authority, Saudi Arabia, and tragically and unfortunately, the U.S. government. Now, some Bible commentators who believe all of Ezekiel 35 was fulfilled in the 6th century B.C. interpret the two nations in Ezekiel 35:10 to mean the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. I don't think that's the correct meaning, because we see here the word nations and countries are used, not kingdoms. And so these two kingdoms, they can't be the two kingdoms of Israel, because the two kingdoms were made up of one ethnic nation and people, the Jewish people, not two. Furthermore, the chronological context for the prophecy of Ezekiel 35 is given in verse 5, as to occur at, quote, the time of the punishment of the end, unquote. And that is the NASV translation. This time of the punishment of the end would seem to indicate that the divine judgment prophesied in Ezekiel 35 is ultimately eschatological, meaning it will be executed during the end times at the Great Tribulation period, which will dramatically bring the present age to an end with the return of Jesus Christ to judge and punish the Gentile nations of the world for their rejection of Him and the mistreatment of His people Israel. At that time, the Arab coalition against Israel, prophesied here and in Psalm 83, will be utterly destroyed by the God of Israel. Verses 10 through 15 prophesy this. And I read starting in verse 10 of Ezekiel 35. "Because you have said," again God addressing these nations with judgment, "because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there." You see, God is present in His land at all times, whether the Jews, His chosen, are there living in obedience, or whether they have been scattered abroad. The Lord is in the land of Israel always, and He has the best knowledge of what is going on, whether good or bad. So because the Lord is there and He is seeing what the enemies of Israel plan for the nation, he will act in judgment against them. Therefore, he says in verse 11, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you have showed in your hatred against them, that is against Israel. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Yes, God is known by His furious judgments. This is a fundamental truth of Scripture and divine history, a truth that's often been neglected today in the church when God's love is overemphasized at the expense of His other acts and attributes, judgment being one of them. God will be known by His devastating judgment on this evil coalition that the descendants of Edom will execute in order to steal the land from Israel and destroy them. Their hatred and their contempt for Israel in doing this will fall back on their own heads, proving that you reap what you sow. Verse 12, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate. They are given us to consume. See, the Arabs don't realize that when they deny the existence of Israel and seek to replace it with a Muslim fascist dictatorship called Palestine to match all the other Arab dictatorships that are present in the Middle East, they are blaspheming against the God of Israel because they are reputing His authority and denying His existence by refusing to accept the fact that God has given the Holy Land, the Promised Land, to the Jewish people and not to the descendants of Edom, Esau, or Ishmael. It does not belong to them. It belongs to God, and He has chosen to give it to the Jewish people. Verse 13. I'm sorry, we're still in verse 12, the latter part. So this is what God is going to do. He says, I have heard all of your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountain of Israel. And now, thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, the whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate. That is the problem in the Middle East right now, is the refusal of the Arab Muslim nations to accept the presence and existence of Israel and their irreconcilable unwillingness to live peacefully with Him, as the state of Israel has offered time and time again when it reached out to the Arab nations to live with them in peace. They refused. And then when God brings judgment on these nations, the whole world will rejoice because finally that thorn in the side of mankind will be removed. And now peace will be obtained because the cause of the lack of peace will be removed with the judgment of Israel's enemies who seek their destruction to no end. And verse 15 ends this prophecy of Ezekiel 35 in this way. God says here, as you rejoiced because the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate, so I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, as well as all of Edom, all of it. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So at that time, the Arab coalition against Israel will suffer the same fate of complete annihilation. All individuals such as Pharaoh, Haman, Hitler, and all nations such as Egypt, Babylon, Rome, and Nazi Germany have faced. And what fate is that? Complete and total annihilation and extinction by the hands of the Lord. So when they sought the destruction of the Jews and Israel, God will destroy them in return. And herein, beloved, is the negative promise and prophecy in the Abrahamic covenant fulfilled and confirmed again, where God says, I will curse those who curse you. Genesis 12:3. Once again, the current situation with Israel and the creation of a Palestinian state within the nation's God-given borders was predicted long ago in Scripture and shows that God does in fact know and has decreed the end from the beginning, as He said in Isaiah 46:10. God's plan for the chosen people will prevail in the end, no matter who or what should foolishly stand in the way at the present time or in the future. And this proves the Puritan proverb, which says, what man proposes, God disposes. So what is our responsibility? Now that God has established the restoration of modern-day Israel with the regathering of the Jewish people, what is our responsibility in light of this? It is, first of all, if you are not a born-again believer, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's fulfilling His Word. And He has brought the Jewish people back into their ancient homeland, just as He foretold He would thousands of years ago, to be a herald, a clarion call, a sign, a signal that His coming is soon. So in the face of this, of His imminent approach, turn to the Lord Jesus now. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Place your trust in Christ for salvation. Believe that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, and that He rose again from the dead to give you eternal life. And for you Christians, your responsibility is to warn the unbeliever. Share with him how Israel, serving as a super sign of the end times, is proof that God's word is true and that His return is soon. And each and every one of us must be ready. It's a time for the church to awaken from her complacent slumber and realize that we are indeed living in a late hour. We are living on the threshold of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that indeed is exciting, as we see Israel serving as a sign for that blessed and glorious reality, the return of Jesus Christ, to establish His worldwide kingdom on earth, a kingdom of peace, righteousness, where there'll be no more violence, bloodshed, or wickedness in the earth. Yes, that is where your hope should be. The blessed hope, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I want to remind you that we have a bi-monthly newsletter that will have all of these teachings that explain the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and the practical benefits of knowing the Bible and having the wisdom to apply God's Word in your daily life. Well, I see my time is closing now. At the end of this broadcast, the announcer will tell you how you can get a hold of us. Don't forget, we conduct annual gospel outreaches to Israel, and we would covet your prayers and support for these vital outreaches. Until next week, Shalom Alechem Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.